I'm Terry Reed with 73 Farms in Carthage, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
We seem to have the makings of a good wheat crop going in the Texas Panhandle, but we can't ignore the potential for disease. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
A U.S. senator says Proposition 12 is already taking a toll. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
The spring outlook for Texas sheep and goats, plus livestock pest issues during the springtime. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have more on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. A Louisiana State University researcher has developed a new vaccine against bovine respiratory disease. Many cattle producers currently use modified live vaccines that contain a cocktail of several live viruses. But the developer of the new vaccine says it's safer for calves and far more effective than the current vaccine cocktail. LSU has applied for a patent for the new vaccine, stating this could be a game changer for the cattle industry. BRD currently kills over 8 million calves each year and costs the U.S. cattle industry over $1 billion. Texas ranchers who utilize traps may have to check them every 36 hours for mountain lions if a new rule is adopted by the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department.
TPWD recently presented a proposed rule that would prohibit a trapper from keeping a live mountain lion in a trap or snare for more than 36 hours. It would also ban canned hunts for mountain lions. Here's Richard Heilbrun, TPWD's Director for the Wildlife Diversity Program.
The Mountain Lion Stakeholder Working Group agreed that checking traps regularly is an important and ethical practice, that targeted trapping is a useful management tool, and that if the commission were to establish new trapping standards, that it should be done in a way to allow electronic trap monitors to satisfy that requirement. Staff recognize the importance of trapping as a management tool in depredation scenarios and as a recreational and commercial activity.
If adopted, the rule would still allow hunting free-range mountain lions and would allow people to lawfully dispatch any mountain lions caught in their trap. The 36-hour rule would not apply to lethal traps or snares that include a breakaway device that disassembles with 285 pounds of force. The proposed rule will be published in the Texas Register, opening up a public comment period. After that public comment period opens, there will be a link on the main page of the TPWD website to submit comments. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
USDA's prospective plantings report released last Thursday shows a big drop in possible corn acreage this year. USDA's estimate, 90 million acres of corn planted this year. That's down 5% or down about 4.6 million acres from last year. Soybean plantings expected to be higher at 86.5 million acres. That's up 3% from last year. All wheat planted acreage this year now estimated at 47.5 million acres. That's 4% below 2023. Of that total, 24.3 million acres are hard red winter wheat, 6.2 million acres soft red winter wheat. The Texas Panhandle wheat crop has very good potential this year. But James Hunt tells us wheat growers need to keep a sharp eye out for diseases.
Russell French is an agronomist based in Amarillo and owner of French Agronomics. He says this season's wheat crop in the Texas Panhandle is one of the best he's seen in years, but he warns that at this stage of the season, the same moisture that can help the crop grow can also help promote plant diseases.
The ones that I'm thinking about are the fungal diseases like stripe rust, stem rust, and then we also have another disease called head scab or fusarium head blight. And so those are three things that growers could potentially do something about. Now, if they have a disease that's caused by viruses like wheat streak mosaic, you know, we're not going to be able to do anything about that other than plant a better variety the next year or control our volunteer better. But right now, I'm not seeing any wheat streak mosaic virus, and really I'm not seeing any diseases at all. But when it comes down to these diseases, there could be potentially a problem if we have some wet weather in late April and May. Those are the diseases I'd be worried about.
So what are the most effective ways to go about protecting your crop?
Well, this is where growers need to be thinking about using a fungicide on wheat. And so they need to know the variety of the wheat they have and what the susceptibility is to these different diseases. And if they're unsure, the best way to do is, you know, work with their crop consultant, ag retailer, or go to their local county agent, because all that information is available or online. They can Google in their wheat variety and it'll pull up what diseases that they are susceptible to.
One resource French recommends for selecting the right fungicide for your crop can be found online by searching with the words fungicide efficacy for control of wheat diseases. Once again, that's fungicide efficacy for control of wheat diseases. More from Russell French of French Agronomics in upcoming reports. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
A U.S. senator says California's Proposition 12 is taking a toll. Jessica Domel has that story.
A California law that restricts in-state sales of pork from sows, hens, and calves in limited mobility confinement is reportedly taking a toll on producers in other parts of the country. U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa says although Proposition 12 has only been in effect for a few months, its impact on the Midwest pork industry is already evident.
Just to show you the impact on consumers of Proposition 12, pork prices have risen 20% since July of last year, 40% just on pork loins.
Proposition 12, which was upheld by the Supreme Court, is law in California, but it impacts livestock growers from out of state who want to sell their products in California. The Supreme Court ruled the law is constitutional because it allows producers to decide if they want to comply with it. The National Pork Producers Council, which is against the law, said with this current economy, most pork producers cannot afford the millions of dollars it would take to build a new sow barn or retrofit one to be in compliance with California standards. And pork producers who do not comply with the law cannot sell their pork in California, a market of about 40 million people who consume nearly 15% of all pork sold domestically. The concern is what will happen if other states choose to implement laws with other standards for products sold in their states. Here's Grassley.
Massachusetts has such a referendum called Question 3. Even Secretary Vilsack has said that without congressional action, these rules will continue to cause chaos in the pork market.
U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack criticized the Supreme Court's decision in favor of Prop 12 during a Senate Ag Committee hearing.
I don't think the Supreme Court, when it decided that pork producers had a choice to participate in the California market or not, understood the pork market. When you're dealing with 12% of the pork market in one state, there is not a choice between doing business with in California and not in California.
Vilsack argued someone must provide national consistency and clarity, or 50 different states could have 50 different standards. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Livestock in some areas of West Texas are still suffering the effects of drought. Tom Nicoletti has more.
Tracy Tomasek is my guest today. He is livestock specialist with the Texas Farm Bureau. For sheep and goat producers who raise their animals in West Central and West Texas, those are the areas that for the most part are abnormally dry. Still some severe drought, but what are you hearing as far as forage for those animals?
The forage out there in West Texas is always slim, and they very seasonally get some rainfall that allows them to stockpile some grasses. But in general, things are tight out there as usual. Hopefully, they'll be able to sustain those animals, those herds, so they can get some potential spring rains. Hopefully, April will bring moist conditions out there.
So with the spring temperatures and the warm-up also, comes various pest problems that might impact cattle or other livestock in Texas.
This is a good opportunity for farmers and ranchers to reach out to their veterinarian, talk about control protocols to minimize the flies and that are impacting their livestock. As GreenUp is here, it's a good opportunity to review what you're doing from an animal health standpoint on minimizing the internal parasites that will reduce the opportunity to maximize and increase the efficiency of using that green grass and converting it into pounds of gain for your livestock. You think about dewormers and things of that nature. It's a great time to review those things and put those protocols in place.
Meanwhile, according to the drought monitor, a lot of North Texas, East Texas, down to the coast, to the valley, looking really good this spring.
Yes, we're excited about the opportunity to get these livestock in a really good, healthy condition moving into the spring and summer, potentially.
That is Tracy Tomasik. He is Texas Farm Bureau Livestock Specialist. I'm Tom Nicoletti at the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Genetic testing is becoming a more widely accepted tool for improving cattle herds. We'll have that story. Plus, equine paraplasmosis was recently diagnosed in a Hood County horse. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories, plus a look at the markets, are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
We're making Texas agriculture great again. This is Texas Ag Today.
Genetic testing is becoming more important in the cattle industry. Sarah Jones is with Red Hill Farms in Tennessee and Kentucky. She says it's vital to her operation.
We've been using genetic testing for over 15 years in all of our seed stock that we purchase, and we will not purchase a bull if it has not been genomically tested. And we use genetic testing on all of our replacement females, and the bulls that we sell are all genetically tested as well. And our customers, our commercial customers, have started using genetic testing to learn more about their cow herds as well.
Red Hill Farms uses the Inherit Select testing system, and Joan says it's being used by their commercial cattle customers as well.
More and more of our commercial cattlemen are using Inherit Select and genomic testing, genetic testing, for testing their cow herds and their replacement females to learn more about their cow herds. We see more and more of our customers doing so. And once they test for the first time, it brings excitement to them that they want to do more testing. So I think it's going to be something that increases in popularity. A lot of it is because they can learn a lot more about their cow herd than they've ever been able to know, particularly if they use multi-sire groups in breeding. So they would know parentage potentially. They have the possibility of predicting the future of what their cow herd might look like if they use genetic testing.
The bottom line is that it does make economic sense to genetically test your herd.
If you could spend $25 today to be able to make $50 to $100 to $150 more profit in the next 3 to 5 years, it seems like a no-brainer.
If you'd like more information on how to use Inherit Select for your herd, visit beefgenetics.com. Equine pyroplasmosis was recently diagnosed in a Hood County horse. Dr. Bob Judd has the details.
On March 6, the Texas Animal Health Commission indicated they have received confirmation of a positive pyroplasmosis test in a Hood County horse. And this is the first equine pyroplasmosis case diagnosed this year. Hood County is around Granbury, and the testing was performed due to regulatory requirements. And the premise has been quarantined and will not be released until regulatory requirements are met. The Animal Health Commission staff is working closely with the owner of the horse and the local veterinarian to implement biosecurity and hopefully prevent spread of the disease. Equine pyroplasmosis affects horses, donkeys, mules, and zebras. And clinical signs of the disease include fever, decreased appetite, anemia or low red blood cell count, jaundice, which is a yellow discoloration of the mucous membranes, exercise intolerance, weakness, labored breathing, weight loss, swollen abdomen, colic, and even sudden death. State veterinarian Dr. Bud Dinges with the Texas Animal Health Commission indicates that the disease is transmitted through blood-to-blood contact and is not contagious from horse to horse or nose-to-nose contact. Ticks commonly spread the disease, but also medical equipment that has been used between horses and not cleaned can spread the disease. It is important to not reuse needles when injecting horses because diseases like pyroplasmosis can be transmitted. Blood-borne diseases like pyroplasmosis and equine infectious anemia can be prevented by using strict biosecurity and implementing tick control measures. Only new sterile needles should be used when injecting medications, and any material like syringes, needles, and intravenous tubing should never be reused.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
Sometimes you love them, sometimes you cuss them. Here's a look at the markets on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how our markets wrapped up on Tuesday. Cattle futures had a bit of a rebound after that big sell-off we saw Monday. We ended up closing higher on both live and feeder cattle, with April live cattle up $1.70, $181.77. June up $1.05, $176.37, with August live cattle up $1.02, $173.12. Feeder cattle taking a bigger jump. April feeders up $3.07, $243.50. May up $2.17 at $244.85. The August up $3, $254.65. Cash fed cattle sales, all quiet for the week. No sales to report, no bids or asking prices to report as well. Boxed beef prices lower. Choice down 51 cents, $305.23. Select down $1.77 at $300.02. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Ken Jordan sold cattle in San Saba Thursday. Ken, how did it go?
We had right 1,100 head today. I thought the overall the market continued very strong. I thought the stocker steers were overall steady. But today, with three steers weighing 573 at 317.5, a little over 1,800, right at $19 and change. The stocker heifers were fully steady. Had a group of nine heifers today, weighed 492 at 296. That's $1,456 on those. The feeder steers, I thought, were fully steady also, and maybe a dollar or two higher in some instances. We had a group of three steers weighed 705 to today at 290 a pound, right at $2,045 on those. Feeder heifers, they were fully city today. Packer cows were probably $2 to $3 higher. Top cow today was 157. Bulls were probably fully steady with the top bull at 162 today. Pairs and bred cows, what we did have, were probably $100 to $175 higher. Top pairs today at $3,550. Overall, very, very strong market, Larry. We will then come back on Thursday and have our regular sale along with a special bull sale. And that bull sale will start at 10 o'clock on Thursday, April the 4th. We have a good offering of those, about 120 bulls, somewhere around 37 Angus, 36 Brangus, 28 Herefords, 20 composites, Charolais, and one Maynon Jew cross. Thursday, April the 4th, starting at 10 o'clock.
Ian, give us the phone number right quick.
You bet. 325-372-5159.
Thank you. Same to y'all, and we'll talk to you later on next week.
You bet. Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Texas neighbor, that's it for Walking the Pens. We appreciate you listening to us on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. We do it every day. Good day to you. I'm Larry Marble.
Back over to the futures market. Our lean hogs finished lower. April hogs down 40 cents, 86.55. May down 7 at 93.67. Class 3 milk was lower. April milk down 5 cents, 15.49 a hundredweight. Cotton closed lower with a weaker stock market and the impending delivery for the May contract putting pressure on cotton futures. May was down 195 points, 90.81. July cotton down 160 at 91.71, while new crop December was down 5, 84.30 cents. Corn closed lower with May corn down 9, 426 and a half. September corn down 8 at 452 and three quarters. Both hard and soft wheat finished lower, double-digit losses in most of the nearby contracts. USDA's latest crop progress report shows that 56% of the nation's winter wheat crop is now rated good to excellent. That is well up from 28% this time a year ago. May Kansas City wheat down 12 and a quarter, 563 and a quarter. July contract down 13 and a half at 557 and a half. July Chicago wheat down 11, 561 and three quarters. In the energy markets, May natural gas up a penny, $1.85. May West Texas crude oil up $1.39 at $85.10 a barrel. The financial markets lower, the Dow down 364 points, 39,202. The NASDAQ down 158, 16,238. The S&P down 37 at 5,206. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.